And now, in this broadcast, we discuss the particular question, was Paul one of the 12 apostles? It is amazing what is said about Peter and the disciples at Jerusalem for having taken part in the appointment of Matthias to the place which Judas had left vacant. They say Peter was impetuous and impatient. One man says this was another of his wild ideas, and that he was completely out of order. Many have charged these disciples and apostles with gambling and throwing dice, with choosing two men and then praying. Lord, you tell us which one of these two, which we've already chosen. One writer says that Peter engineered the appointment of Matthias. Now, this is so far from factual. God's choice for Judas' place, they say, was Paul. And the apostles and disciples, they say, acted in the flesh in appointing Matthias. In God's sight, Paul, not Matthias, is one of the 12. But, beloved, the record of Scripture clearly indicates the very opposite. We're going to see that. They say they should have prayed first. Well, they did pray first. The 11 apostles and the disciples had, now I'm quoting from Acts 1:14, all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. Now, they had been doing this ever since the ascension of Christ. Acts 1:14 says this. And it says in the next verse that in those days of continued earnest prayer, Peter arose to address not only the other apostles, but about 120 people. I'm going to read you this passage. In those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of names together was about 120, men and brethren, the Scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit by the mouth of David spake concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. For he was numbered with us, and had obtained part of this ministry. Now, in verse 20, Peter quotes from the Psalms. He says, for it is written in the book of Psalms, at Psalm 109:8, let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein, and his bishopric let another take. Now, that was a prophecy concerning Judas. And so Peter goes on in verse 21 to say, wherefore of these men which have companied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John until the same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection? And they appointed two. Really, the word appointed in the original means they made two stand up. You'll find that if you have a reference margin Bible. And they made two stand up. Joseph, called Barsabbas, who was surnamed Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, Lord, thou which knowest the hearts of all men, show which of these two thou hast chosen, that he may take part in this ministry and apostleship, from which Judas by transgression fell. And verse 26 says, they gave forth their lots, and the lot fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11. Now then, notice that Peter reminded his hearers that the Holy Spirit by the mouth of David had said, let Judas' habitation be desolate, and his bishopric let another take. And then he reminds them that of those who qualified, one must be ordained to take Judas' place. He uses the phrase must and must needs. Why was this so necessary? Well, simply because Pentecost was at hand, and then the kingdom was to be offered. And there were to be 12 men, not 11, but 12 men to sit on 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Again, our Lord had promised that as a body, these 12 men, the apostles, should occupy 12 thrones in his kingdom. I surely hope you know that famous verse in Matthew 19:28, where the Lord said, "Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, then shall ye also sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel." You see, these 12 men had nothing to do with the one body of Christ today. They were to sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. As I say, the establishment of the kingdom was soon to be offered, and there would have to be 12 men ready to occupy these 12 thrones with Christ if Israel should accept Christ as the Messiah. Again, in Matthew 18, verses 18 and 19, the apostles had been given official authority to act in Christ's absence for just such circumstances as this one. Remember how he said, "Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven." And what they did on earth on this day was most surely ratified in heaven. We're going to see that in just a few minutes. Now, any candidates for Judas' place had to be men who had accompanied with Christ and the 12, as Peter says, all the time that Christ ministered on earth, from the first day, the day of his baptism, that is the first day of his ministry, the day of his baptism, to the last day when he was taken up from among them. Now, this was based on the wording of Christ's promise, "Ye which have followed me, ye which have continued with me," in Luke 22, "will sit on 12 thrones." Now, who can prove that there were more than two thus qualified? If there had been more than two, it is doubtful that they would have had only two stand up. Now, again, there had to be 12 men to be eyewitnesses of Christ's resurrection. Peter says, "We need this man to fill Judas' place, to bear witness to Israel that Christ is alive." And it is doubtful whether more than two could have filled both qualifications. But even the two thus qualified were taken to the Lord in prayer. The whole action was bathed in days of prayer. They all continued with one accord in prayer, and then this took place. And even before they decided which of the two should take Judas' place, in fact, they did not decide it, but before finding out who was elected, they again went to the Lord in prayer, as we read in Acts 1 and the 24th verse. Now, their prayer was a simple appeal to the risen Lord not to select one of these two qualified men, but to learn which one the Lord had already chosen. Listen to their prayer. They said, "Thou, Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show which of these two thou hast chosen." How unjust, then, the charge that they first made up their minds as to what they were going to do and then prayed about it. Now, the final choice was left wholly to the Lord by the casting of lots. I'm going to go further into that in just a moment. But I say it in order to show that they did not elect anybody. These two men evidently were the only two who were qualified, the only two who had gone about with Christ through his whole earthly ministry. That is, the only two besides the 11 who are already apostles. And these apostles and disciples did not even then choose one of the two. They cast lots and prayed about it. And we read that the lot fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. Now then, It's important to notice that after the field had been narrowed down to two apostles, these 11 did not lean to their own understanding, but prayed earnestly, again beseeching the Lord, show which of these two thou hast chosen, and to guard completely against exercising their own will in the matter, they cast lots, leaving the outcome prayerfully to the Lord. I say, how unjust to level a charge of self-will on the one hand and of gambling on the other against men who, according to the sacred record, took every precaution against exercising their own wills and prayerfully cast lots to make certain that God would have his way. Now, I want to say a word about the casting of lots. Again and again, men have spoken disparagingly of the apostles throwing dice, gambling, and leaving this matter to chance. What they fail to notice is that in such a case, it was both scriptural and appropriate to cast lots. Long centuries before this, the Lord had declared that the land of Canaan should be divided to Israel by lot, Numbers 26:55. And the book of Joshua describes how this was done. This was a familiar Old Testament method of ascertaining the Lord's will in such matters, and was far removed from present-day gambling, in which men trust to luck. Proverbs 16:33 correctly declares, "The lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord." Who, reading the account with an open mind, would associate this incident with gambling or with a game of chance? I'm not aware that gamblers generally pray before throwing their dice, are you? They don't generally pray that the Lord might have his way. But again, I want to show how what they did was clinched by the act of God himself. Just a few verses farther, after it says Matthias was numbered with the 11, in the fourth verse of the next chapter it says, "And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit." Would a man out of the will of God and in the wrong place be filled with the Holy Spirit? If the apostles and disciples had acted in the flesh in so important a matter and had been gambling, would they have been filled with the Holy Spirit? Most assuredly not. But it is just as important to notice that Paul, whom they say should have been the 12th apostle, that the others should have waited for his coming, it is just important to see that he could not possibly qualify to be one of the 12. If one fact is certain beyond the shadow of a doubt, as we consider the record of Scripture, it is the fact that Paul could not have been one of the 12 apostles. He was not at any time eligible for this position. First, he wasn't saved until sometime after Pentecost, so he couldn't have been appointed as Judas' successor in time for Pentecost and the offer of the kingdom. But could this offer have waited, Paul would not have been eligible at any time for apostleship among the 12. He had not followed with Christ on earth or gone up in and out with him and with the other apostles throughout our Lord's earthly ministry. He had not even seen Christ until after his ascension. Now, again, Matthias was numbered with the 11 apostles, and as I've just said, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. This alone is proof positive that Matthias and not Paul was God's choice for Judas' place. But Paul was raised up, beloved, for a special ministry, separate and distinct from that of the 12. He is the first one who says, "But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested." He is the one who speaks about the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Did you ever read anything like that before you come to Paul in the record of Scripture? It is Paul who tells in Ephesians 3 how the Lord gave to him this great revelation of the mystery from his throne in heaven. But Paul consistently refers to the 12 as a separate body of apostles. For example, in 1 Corinthians 15, 5-8, he declares that Christ was seen of the 12, and last of all he was seen of me also. So he distinguishes himself from the 12 in that way. This inspired reference to 12 apostles between the resurrection and ascension of Christ is further proof that God considered Matthias as one of the 12 even before his appointment in Acts 1. And that's why Peter said, "Tell, Lord, which one thou hast chosen." Evidently, he was with the apostles when the risen Christ appeared to them and didn't leave Christ until he was taken up into heaven from them all. Now, Paul then cannot be considered one of the 12 apostles, nor even can he be considered as one with the 12, as so many consider him. As 11 apostles would have been too few for the 12 promised thrones, so 13 would have been too many. When I was a boy, we used to play a little game called musical chair. And there are six chairs standing in one spot and six others standing back to back against the others, a total of 12 chairs. But there are 13 people, and they march around the chairs, you know, and the pianist is playing, and when the pianist stops, everybody tries to sit down. Well, very naturally, somebody doesn't get a seat. That's musical chair, and then they eliminate one chair, and they keep eliminating the people in that way, too. But may I say it reverently, they're not going to play musical chair in the kingdom. They're not going to be short one seat. That is to say, there are not going to be 12 thrones and 13 apostles to occupy them. No, indeed. The 12 apostles, beloved, were chosen in the first place because there were 12 tribes. Get that number 12 in your mind. God chose 12 patriarchs, and these patriarchs were the fathers of 12 tribes. And these tribes had 12 princes. They were juggled around, as we say, from time to time in the Old Testament. But when Gad is excluded, another one is included, and there are always 12. And so with the apostles, the Lord chose 12 apostles, and he explained why. Because they were to sit with him on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel in the kingdom which was to be established here on earth at Jerusalem. Paul has no relationship to this kingdom at all. His is the great message of the one body. Paul was one apostle and a fit representative of the one body. In fact, he was, as it were, two persons in one, just as the one body is a joint body of Jew and Gentile. For by one Spirit have we all been baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles. So the Apostle Paul was a Hebrew and a Roman in one person, and represented both. He was a born Hebrew. He was intensely Hebrew. And he was also a Roman, a born Roman, and intensely Roman. Read of his actions with Lysias, the chief captain, and with other officers and with the magistrates at Philippi, and see how several times he struck fear into the hearts of the Romans when he showed his high rank as a Roman citizen. So don't you see, we must rightly divide the word of truth, beloved, in order to be able to wield the sword of the Spirit as good soldiers of Jesus Christ. The Bible is not just a big book of wonderful sayings. Oh, no. It has a message. It has a plan. It has a purpose which God would have us understand. Now, in the Old Testament, the kingdom was first covenanted. It was promised to David. Later on, through the prophets, it was described and anticipated by the people of Israel. When you come to the gospel records, the familiar phrase is, the kingdom is at hand. It is at hand. That is, it was, as it were, within their grasp. It was coming very close. But it couldn't be offered yet. How could the kingdom be offered before the cross? Didn't all the prophets testify, as Peter says, of the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow? That's why in the gospel records the kingdom is always at hand, and it is not until Pentecost and after that it is offered. Isn't that interesting? People say the body of Christ, the church of today, began at Pentecost, but the first offer of the kingdom was not even made until after Pentecost. Let me read it to you in Acts 3, not Acts 2, Acts 3, verses 19 and 20. Peter says, "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, that so the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you." So in the early part of Acts, we do not have the gospel of the grace of God. The so-called Great Commission, the commission given to the 11 or the 12, says nothing about the finished work of Christ. It says nothing about the gospel of the grace of God. It says nothing about the body of Christ. It says nothing about salvation by grace through faith in Christ's finished work alone. No, indeed. Everything is the kingdom there. Christ says, "All authority is given unto me. Therefore go and make disciples." And as to the gospel, it was the same gospel they had been preaching. "Repent and be baptized for the remission of sins," was Peter's message at Pentecost, and he got this from the Great Commission. The so-called Great Commission says in Mark 16:16, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." He that didn't believe, of course, wouldn't matter what he did, he wouldn't be saved. It is not until we come to the Apostle Paul that we find the wonderful gospel of the wonderful grace of God, that he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. We must distinguish between the 12 apostles and Paul, or it will even affect our preaching of the gospel. And the preaching of the gospel by the fundamental church today is indeed confused. May God help us to get it straight, to get it right.